question, would you ever pay someone to be your bridesmaid? And how would you feel if you were a bridesmaid at a wedding and you learned that a fellow bridesmaid had been hired to stand beside you? And finally, what reasons would a woman even have to pay for an extra bridesmaid? I first learned of Jen Glantz when she reached out to me years ago to write a piece for Insider. She invited me to be her friendship coach, and then she wrote about the experience, sharing how she felt about actually putting my strategies into practice in real life. Jen is a terrific writer, and so I began following along with her after that experience, and that's when I discovered that she was also a bridesmaid for hire. Yes, you heard me correctly. Women pay her to be a bridesmaid. Now, I believe in speaking honestly on this show, so I'll admit, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, I guess this is great for women who don't have anyone in their lives. But then she explained to me everything else she does and all the surprising reasons people with lots of friends hire her. I almost kind of wish I could get married again just to have her on my team, and I'm not even kidding. So in this episode of the Friend Forward podcast, we're not only going to talk to a bridesmaid for hire about what she does, but about the unique things that she gets to witness about female friendship from her vantage point of being a fly on the wall during one of the most tense times in a woman's life. Stay tuned.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the Friend Forward podcast, powered by BetterFemaleFriendships.com. I'm Danielle Byer Jackson, a friendship coach, educator, and author of the upcoming book, Fighting for Our Friendships. And it's my job to share the science of women's conflict and connection. So when it comes to the joys, complexities, and misconceptions surrounding these kinds of relationships, I am here to help you through it. So many questions. I'm so curious and I want the tea. But before you give it to us, let's start with you telling us who you are and what you do.
Amazing. So my name is Jen Glantz, and I am the founder of a company called Bridesmaid for Hire. When I was in my early 20s, like a lot of my friends got engaged. I was always the bridesmaid. But then distant friends, like the kind of people you talk to maybe once a year, they started asking me to be a bridesmaid. And it felt like I was doing it for people I hardly knew. So I figured, why not do it for people I hardly know? And I launched a business where strangers have hired me to be their bridesmaid for the last decade.
Where to begin? My first question is, when you have women who reach out to you and they're considering you for this service, when they're sharing with you their reasons for bringing you in, what are some of the themes that emerge?
You know, I'd always say it's never one size fits all, and everybody has a story. And sometimes the story comes out later on, but a lot of times they'll enter my inbox and they'll say one of two things. The first is that they have friends, they have a lot of people in their lives, but those people just aren't showing up for them, and they're not showing up for them in the way that they need or that they even know how to ask for. And the other category of people are saying, Jen, I don't have any close friends, whether that's because they've moved around a lot, they're at a certain point in their life, or they just don't have anyone to turn to. So those are the two initial reasons why people will hire a bridesmaid.
Okay, that's so interesting, because I do think the first thing that one might consider is, oh, these are a bunch of friendless, awkward women. And I hear you saying there are two groups. One, they're in transition and they are trying to invite new connections into their life and need to fulfill that role. I get that. And then also you said women who have friends, but don't trust them for the responsibilities that come with this unique role.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are always like, just like you said, like, are these people weird? Are they awkward? I'm like, no, some of these people are most of these people are the most badass people you have ever met. Some of them are the CEOs of companies. Other of them are just crushing it in different areas of their life. And sure, maybe they just don't have any close friends. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of people you know right now who might on Instagram appear to have all these people, but then they have a significant moment in their life happen, like a wedding or a death or whatever it is, and they don't really have anyone to turn to. And that's exactly who these people are at their core, is they're just people.
That's so interesting. When they're bringing you on for this service, what does that look like? Like, what are you doing as a bridesmaid for hire?
So the most interesting part of it is that for, I'd say 75% of the people, they're hiring me as a secret. So nobody in their life knows, sometimes not even the person they're marrying knows, that I'm their friend for hire. So they keep it a secret. I'll have a fake name, a fake backstory, and we do start a genuine friendship because I have to get to know them. So a lot of the calls we have before the wedding are get to know you calls. What do you like to do for fun? And we really do become a level of friends throughout the whole process. And then I do all the things that a bridesmaid would do. I'll show up at the bachelorette party. I'll help them with the bridal shower. And then I'm there at the wedding, wearing the dress, walking down the aisle, supporting them. People look at the job and they're like, oh, you just like get drunk and dance on the dance floor. I'm like, no, I am their friend. And I know that's so hard to believe, but if you cannot do that, then this job is not for you. Like, you really do have to build a connection with that person.
This is so interesting because I do think people think, okay, is there a level of pretend or faking? But this is even opening my mind because I do think we think, okay, bridesmaid, and this is supposed to, you know, signify your closest people. You're putting your social hierarchy on public display. Mm-hmm. But opening my mind to the idea of like, no, I probably need some people in this group who can help me get this done, who I can trust to follow through, who I can assign tasks to, and I know that they're going to be responsible, who maybe come without the drama and history that tends to bubble up to the surface. You're nodding enthusiastically. Tell me, is that some of the things that you've kind of heard them share with you?
1,000%. But also, you know, we don't always talk about this, but sometimes people are getting married and they don't actually want to get married. And they don't have anyone to tell that to because your best friend is going to judge you, or your best friend's going to say, Jen, you're just going through a lot. Like, just do it. Like, they might have good intentions for you, but they might not be able to say, you don't want to get married? Tell me everything. I've got your back. So there are some people who hire me, whether indirectly or directly, and they'll say eventually down the road, like, I'm not sure about this. Or, hey, like, I don't want to do this. Can you help? And not everyone has a badass friend who can say, let's get you out of here, because there's just a lot of history and there's a lot of emotion. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that for a friend. So that's another reason why they come to me, is for that. But yeah, they come to me because I'm not going to bring the drama. I'm not going to bring the judgment. And I'm completely unbiased. I don't care what you do. I just want to make sure you're doing what you actually want to do.
Oh my gosh, this is so interesting. We did an episode a while ago with a therapist who specifically helps people during their weddings, because she says that a lot of relationships, as we know, are severed and stretched during that time. Not because the wedding suddenly makes these issues manifest, but because it brings a lot of things to the surface. And so I'm really seeing the value of having someone help you manage this experience pretty much without some of the tenderness and risk maybe that comes with having your friends do these things. What are some things that have surprised you in playing this role? And you've done it for so long now. Is there anything that you've observed or heard about women, their friendships, their tensions at this time that has surprised you?
You know, I think that, and this is true even when I was a bridesmaid for my friends, is that sometimes the role of a bridesmaid, the number one thing that you really should do is be selfless. You know, sometimes as a bridesmaid, you are putting yourself first. Oh, like, I don't want to go on this bachelorette party because of this, this, and this. Or at the wedding, my hair's not looking good, so I'm going to stop everything and make sure the day doesn't go on until my hair gets fixed. Like, I see a lot of that, bridesmaids who maybe are putting themselves first in situations where it's like, hey, just for the day, take a back seat, or figure out what you can do to be comfortable without making it the center of attention. And I think that's a big mistake that bridesmaids make. People always say to me, like, what do you have to do to be the best bridesmaid ever? And I think it's pretty simple. Just be a really good friend to the person. And how do you do that during this difficult time, which I think weddings are one of the most difficult times of people's lives? Let them talk. Give them a safe space to talk. When I have a friend getting married, I'll say, hey, let's meet up. I just want you to have an open space to talk, to vent, to tell me anything. And I think that that's what a lot of people getting married just want from their friends, is that safe space.
Oof. That is so simple, but I think a lot of us wouldn't admit it, but maybe really hard to do. And I like to think that a lot of us think that we can totally do that. I can totally hold space. I can totally make this about you. I feel like in those moments, because I've heard the stories too, I know you've seen a lot of them, but it's like, are you unwilling to be inconvenienced? Do you kind of want to have a little bit of the shine yourself? Does a part of you feel like you deserve this moment? Yeah. You know, and what kind of dynamics have been kind of latent in your friendship until now that are now bubbling up? So that is great advice about, this is her day. This is her time, and letting her shine. Now, I have to ask you naturally on the other end, what advice do you have for brides based on all that you've seen?
You know, I think when you're the one getting married, oftentimes it could be the first time you're getting married. You've never had bridesmaids before, so you're not sure what to expect. Being a bridesmaid is not one size fits all. And I think to assume that, you're setting everyone up for false expectations. So I think if you're the one getting married, before you ask your bridesmaids to be your bridesmaids, you need to like let them know what they're getting themselves into. Meaning like, hey, I would love for you to be my bridesmaid. Here's what you can expect. I really want to go on a bachelorette party that's not going to be in the city that we live in. So I want to go somewhere that might require a little bit of travel. You absolutely don't have to go, or I need you to go. If you can't go, don't be my bridesmaid. I think you need to set your bridesmaids up for success by being upfront and honest with them about what your non-negotiables are and what you don't mind if they skip out on and don't do. And it should almost be not something that you ask and you get a yes or no answer. It should be, hey, I want you to consider this. Get back to me in a couple days if you're up for it. I know that's so not traditional, but that is the best way to set your friends up for success. Because on the other friend, the friend might not have the time, the money, or the mental capacity to take on this role. And that should be okay. This should be a job. Being a bridesmaid is a job. It's a lot of work. It costs money. Like, it's a lot to ask people. So set them up for expectations and don't give them an out, but almost like give them the opportunity to say, hey, I love you. I want to support you, but I just can't do it this way right now.
That's so good, because you don't often hear it framed as a dialogue. Hey, give me your thoughts. You know, I'm giving you time. You have permission to decline, and you and I will still be okay. Which, I mean, feels tricky, right?
Yes. It feels tricky, but it's a level of friendship that we all want to strive to. I think, like, I know that I'm not there yet. I can't have some of these adult conversations in my own life, but like, I do think there is beauty to it to say, I genuinely do not care if you say no to being my bridesmaid. I love you. I know you still love me. If you do want to be my bridesmaid, though, here are the things I'm really going to need from you. And it should almost be that type of conversation. Like, I'm going to need you to devote all of these hours to X, Y, and Z. And I'm going to need you to wear this one dress because it's my dream to have all of you wear this one dress. Like, that conversation should be just upfront and honest before you put your friendship in a situation that can sometimes make or break it in many cases.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go there. You're saying that you see this as a wise strategy to front load the experience with an open conversation around what you're looking for and seeing if giving them a chance to say, okay, I sign on for that. I agree to the terms. But you're talking about, like, the reason we're doing this is we want to salvage the friendship. I want to do these things. I want to have the wedding of my dreams, but I also want to maintain this friendship. What are some of the friendship conflicts you've seen behind the scenes that you feel like you've seen over and over again?
Number one thing is resentment. It's the person saying, yes, I will be your bridesmaid. And then the next week, starting to slowly start to turn that resentment toward that person. Why? Because the bride says, great, you're a bridesmaid. I'm going to need you to take off 5 days of work for the bachelorette party, the bridal shower, the engagement. I need you to come early to set up. And the wedding, I'm going to need you to come Friday and Monday. And then you go, okay, well, I agreed to this. So I feel bad. So yeah, I'll take those days off of work. But then secretly you're thinking, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. And then the bride asks you for something else that makes you a little bit upset. And rather than coming to the table and expressing that because you don't know how or you're scared, the resentment builds, builds, builds. And if you are somebody who can get through the whole wedding with all that resentment building, usually what happens, and I see this all the time, is the wedding ends and the friendship goes apart because that bridesmaid can't really be there for the bride and show up with a happy face post-wedding. They're pissed off. And how do you communicate that to someone who just got married? So naturally, what the person does is they start to slowly pull away. Maybe they stop talking to the person a little bit and the friendship starts to go distant. And I see that a lot. And I do feel like a lot of people listening might have had an experience like that where they were a bridesmaid for the friend and then the friendship was never the same after.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Yes. I mean, the things you're sharing, I've definitely seen. And it's interesting that immediately came up for you. It was like, oh, the resentment because of things unsaid, because going back to your word about expectations, I didn't know you wanted this from me. Now you're throwing things on. And then because a lot of us feel like we want to maintain an appearance of being cooperative. Okay, well, I'm going to say yes, because I don't want to be difficult, but I'm deeply uncomfortable.
Yes. And it's so hard to know, okay, I'm deeply uncomfortable. And this is a very high stakes situation. This is a day that means so much to this person. And this person is supposed to be my best friend. So how do I take that discomfort and communicate it? That is extremely tricky and often very, very hard to do. And that's why I do feel like weddings at times can be a make or break for a friendship. And what I mean by that is sometimes they can save a friendship, but more likely than not, I do think that they start to rip a friendship apart a little bit.
So what are some situations that you have had where you found yourself maybe mediating between the bride and bridesmaid, whether it's the day of or however that works? What are some things that you had to kind of help create harmony or an understanding by being the middleman?
Oftentimes I'm that negotiator. So I'll hear from one party what they want. I'll hear from the other party what they want. And I'll be the one to sort of make it work. Or the bride might say like, hey, these two people are causing so much drama. I don't even want to know they exist until cocktail hour. So I need you to be that buffer and make sure that Sarah and Jessica don't start any more drama. Don't make this about them and don't get in my face with any of this. And then my whole focus is on Sarah and Jessica and just making sure that, you know, their hair is not working. I fix it. They don't know where their dress is. I find it. I go off and be with them. So sometimes the bride hires me for herself, but sometimes the bride hires me because there's a family member or there's some friends that just constantly need to be pushed back into a little bit of a corner and they don't have the time and energy to do that on the wedding day. So I see that a lot. I oftentimes will see friends just not knowing how to show up for that person. And that's just in a good intention way. You know, they come there on the wedding day, they want to be there for the person, but they're not reading the room. They're not sensing the emotions. They're not seeing what's written between the lines of some situations. Maybe they don't know that the bride has such anxiety because she's not happy about the person she's married. They don't know these things. So they don't know how to be there for that person. And that causes just a little bit of awkwardness and discomfort too.
That is so interesting. And I am so grateful that you made that point because sometimes in this conversation, I'm sure you've seen it on social and all the things around bridesmaids and all the things, people are so often vilified. Like she was the worst bridesmaid ever. She's so selfish. But to hear you say like, people sometimes don't know what it even entails to be a good bridesmaid. And even you giving the specific example of, okay, maybe she has anxiety because this whole situation doesn't feel good to her. And it's presenting itself as maybe being short with you or being really controlling about how the specifics need to go because there's something else. So that's a really great point around some bridesmaids not even simply knowing what is required. And we often talk about, you know, the research says that the number one thing women look for in their same-sex friendships is emotional support. And I feel like during a moment like this, getting ready, I mean, it's times 100, right? But so often we don't say the support we need, you know, so the fact that, you know, emotional support is so subjective and elusive anyways, one thing, but it's almost like worsened by the fact that we don't say what we need. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, you know, to your point, tensions or confusion around how to show up.
Yeah. And I'm the kind of person to be straightforward and honest. Like I am not naturally a good friend because I didn't really have a lot of close friends growing up. I'm learning about friendship a lot in my 20s and now in my 30s. I've learned a lot about friendship through making tons of mistakes. And it's the same thing in the bridesmaid world. I mean, I think the first couple of times you're a bridesmaid, you have good intentions, but you really don't know what you're doing and you don't know how to be there for a person. But by times number six, you're like, okay, I get it. I know the room. I know what's happening here. So I do think sometimes we are a little too hard on our bridesmaids because we expect so much from them, but they don't really know how to support us. And there's no guidebook on any of this. And every wedding and every bride is so different. So I think from both ends, it's like loosening up, okay, our expectations, loosening up the whole situation because everyone's trying their hardest. Just sometimes it doesn't come through the right way.
Yeah. That's so interesting. It's making me think, you know, in my wedding, I had four bridesmaids and I mean, I would never think to say this. It was just, I just pictured in my mind that it would be this way and then it wasn't. But I don't know. I picture like when we were getting ready in the hotel, like hours before everybody's doing makeup and getting their clothes on, I guess I expected us to like, I don't know, like all kind of being in the same room, kind of like that energy before you go out in college and everybody's like, oh, let me borrow your shirt and like all that hubbub. But everybody had kind of went and like isolated on their own. So like one was in the bathroom and one was on the phone with her husband in the hall and one and we were so spread out in the suite. And I remember being, and I've never even said this aloud and I wouldn't even say it to them because there's no point, but like, I remember thinking like, I felt a little sad because it wasn't the energy I expected. Everybody was just taking care of their own lipstick and phone calls. And I remember feeling like sad, like, okay, this I'm by myself getting my makeup done. I thought they'd be like gathered around and we're laughing. And it was just a small little moment. I mean, these are terrific women, but it was a small moment of disappointment because I had hoped that they would just know in my brain that obviously you would be gathered around me, like my makeup done, you know, just spilling tea and being silly. So it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. It is. No, it is so tough. And then you have the bride who's like, I don't want any of my friends in the room while I'm getting ready or anything. So like, you know, it's so hard to know. And I don't even know if sometimes people know what they want until the moment. And I do think, you know, there's lots of things that we work through in friendship. One of them is communicating. I think that's so hard. But then let alone communicating in a friendship in a high stakes moment like a wedding or any type of high emotional state environment just becomes even harder to do. And I think there's very few people who master it. And I think the only reason why I'm decent at this job is because I've done it so many times. And I'm the stranger in the room. I have no ties to these people. Mm-hmm. I know them to a certain degree, but it's very different. So they treat me different and I treat them different because we're not lifelong friends. And I do think that is why I can do this job. And I'm not the best bridesmaid or the best friend for my friends in the real life because I do struggle with a lot of these things that I'm preaching right here too.
Yeah. So I'm curious about that because you're mentioning your own personal friendships. What are the ways in which this job has shaped, influenced your personal friendships? What has it taught you? What's the connection there?
You know, I think for most of my life, I was very, very shy. It still takes a lot for me to open up to my own friends. I mean, they'll see me, they'll know that I'm not doing well, and I'll convince them that I am okay. I will not open up to them. It takes a lot for me to do that. And when you're a bridesmaid for hire, one of the interesting things you learn is that it's so easy for strangers to open up to other strangers. I mean, people tell me things that I don't think they've ever told anybody in their life, like their deepest, darkest secrets, they tell me. And I watch how they open up. I watch the environment in which they open up to me. And that's inspired me to be a little bit more open to my own friends as well. I think there is such beauty in talking through what we're going through or talking through some of the things that we're holding inside of us. And that has been so hard for me to do with my own friends in life. So watching strangers be able to do that to me has inspired me to really look at my friends as sounding boards, as people who do want to hear this information and help with this information. So I think it's helped me open up a little bit more. I think it's taught me a lot about friendship in the sense of loneliness inside of friendships. You know, when I'm a bridesmaid for hire and people have other bridesmaids there too, who are their real friends, it's shown me that we can have so many people around us and be so lonely. And I do feel like that. I think people might look at me and be like, oh, she's got so many friends. But no, I am pretty lonely. And it's only been in my 30s that I've made best friends. I never had friends like this until now. So I think it's shown me just all these different dynamics of friendship. And even though you see on Instagram a picture of a bridal party and everyone's smiling and looking happy, you do not know what is going on with the friendship's dynamic. So don't compare your life to those pictures. And I think a lot of people in the wedding environment compare their lives to the pictures they see for other people's weddings.
Oh, interesting. First of all, that's a mic drop right there about comparing and not knowing the dynamics behind the scene. I do know that that drives myself included, but to make certain decisions or behaviors because we're trying to achieve what we see on social media. And I know a lot of us would like to think we're emotionally mature and just above it, but it's hard not to put your head on a swivel, look around. Okay, what is everybody else doing? Okay, this is the norm and expectation. Okay, I'm going to try to have the same thing. You know, I have had maybe 3 or 4 clients specifically tell me that they were convincing their fiancés that they didn't want a big wedding, but they actually did want a big wedding. It's just that they didn't have any bridesmaids. And so instead of saying, you know, I don't have anyone close to fulfill that role, I'm just going to pretend I don't even want all of this. Like that specific thing has been shared with me multiple times because of the pressure to have that squad on display on the big day.
Yeah. And I think, I hope that changes. And I do see that changing. You know, I think the pandemic shook up the wedding industry entirely in many different ways. And one of the positive ways is I think that people are reinvestigating how they want their friends to show up at their wedding. Weddings are changing in general, meaning that I think that weddings are getting a little bit less elaborate. I do think bachelorette parties are getting even more elaborate. But I think in terms of friendship and bridesmaids, people are reducing expectations of bridesmaids a lot more, and they're reducing how many bridesmaids they have. Pre-pandemic, it was like normal to see 8 to 10. Now I'm finding in the wedding industry, a lot of people are going to like 2 or maybe like 2 to 4, but they're really reducing that bridal party to be a little bit smaller and more intimate. And I do think, you know, if I could predict anything, it would be that bridesmaids are going to be like an obsolete thing in the next decade or so. And I think instead of asking our friends to do what is a bit of an outdated tradition, we're going to ask our friends just to support us in their natural ways that we know that they're good at, without the title, without the label, without this whole stigma around it. So I predict that bridesmaids will completely change in the next decade or so.
Ooh, now that's interesting. That is very interesting. And I could, based on what you're describing, I could totally see that where people are getting more comfortable saying, you know what, it's my wedding and I want it to look how I want it to look. And we're going to buck traditions, including having bridesmaids. That's very interesting. You know, as we close, like, do you have any other advice or insights around women's friendships that you have gathered from your decade-long experience of being a bridesmaid for hire?
Ooh, I think number one is your friends aren't always telling you the truth. And it's not because they want to lie to you. It's that they're uncomfortable opening up to you. Listen very closely when people talk to you and ask really good follow-up questions. As somebody who it takes me, again, so long to open up, but I have friends who will literally dissect, God bless them, they will dissect what I say and they will say, wait a second, what do you mean by that? And by the second or third question, I'm like, okay, here's everything that I tried not to tell you, you know? And like, I just think like your friends sometimes aren't telling you the upfront truth. And sometimes they want you to listen and play a little bit of detective to just show them, hey, it is a safe place. And hey, I am here for you. And I'm giving you the time to open up to me. So I think that in friendship, we can all be a little bit better listeners and even better ask those improv follow-up questions, like the yes and questions, to just get people to open up. Because I think we're all struggling with a lot that we don't always show up and share. So helping your friends have that safe space, I think, is really key.
That's so good. Jen, this is all so good, so interesting. I have to ask you this. This is random, but I'm just nosy. Have you ever given a maid of honor speech?
All of the time. In fact, a lot of people will hire me to give a speech at their wedding when I'm their maid of honor. And sometimes I've had to do it impromptu, where they'll tell me that, like, right before it's time to give a speech, so I have to give a speech. But before I did this job, I was a writer and I love public speaking. So I never get nervous and it plays into my strengths and I love it. But yes, all of the time.
That's so good. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Okay. So yeah. Let's say I hired you bridesmaid for hire. Okay. And it's 2 minutes away. And I'm like, Jen, I need you to give a speech. Tell me what your, give me an opener. How would you write that opener for me specifically?
I would say, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here tonight to celebrate the love between Danielle and her partner. For those of you that don't know me, I am Jen. I am her maid of honor and one of her closest friends. When Danielle and I first met, the number one thing that caught my attention was her smile. It has the capacity to truly lighten up a room, and she just brings you in with everything that she is and makes you feel comfortable and safe. And then I blah, 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 blah.
Yes, and the Academy Award. So good. And I like that it's still authentic because you're like, hey, I genuinely know this thing about this person. So I love that there's still the authenticity and the warmth. And you're so good. That's hilarious. Aww. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the woman who's listening and she's just so curious about all that you've got going on, where can she follow along with you?
Oh my God, of course, bridesmaidforhire.com. And I have a newsletter on Substack called the Bridesmaid for Hire Hotline that you can check out. And I'm Jen Glantz on Instagram, online, would love to meet you and say hello.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
As your new official friendship coach, here's your homework. Listen closely. If you are a bride, if you are a bridesmaid, I want you to ask yourself this simple question. If I want this friendship to last beyond the wedding day, what things do I need to do or stop doing so that we can preserve our relationship? I know as a woman who's been married and had a bridal party and been a bridesmaid, it can get messy. The details seem amplified under such, you know, tense conditions, and we lose sight of the ultimate vision, which is to be friends far beyond this big day. So why don't you allow that to serve as your guiding question? If I want to preserve this friendship far beyond the wedding day, what must I start doing and what must I let go of? And it's my hope that that puts things in a bit more perspective. If this is something that especially resonates with you, I hope you'll come tell me about it. You can contact us over on Instagram at friendforward. You know, I love a good voice note. Or you can hit us up anytime at betterfemalefriendships.com. And if you enjoy talking about the complexities of women's friendships, specifically wedding culture and all the tension that comes with it, you'll find a little bit about the subject in my new book, Fighting for Our Friendships. I know many of you have messaged me to say that you have pre-ordered your copy, and that makes me feel so grateful. So thank you. I do want to say, though, I hope that you claimed your pre-order bonuses.
Like, I specifically created extra gifts for you to thank you for ordering early. So if you're one of those women who's feeling good because you already reserved your copy, go to betterfemalefriendships.com, click on the book page, and scroll down to have them automatically delivered to you. And the good news is we have more bonuses coming your way. All these bonuses expire on May 7th. So get there now while you still have time. And until then, you know that I'll be right here rooting for you always on your ongoing journey toward better female friendships. Until next time.